What's going on, everybody? This is DJ Ambush, and you're listening to another episode of North to the Numbers. I am here very, very gratefully in the presence of one Ivan McClellan. We have an event coming up soon. From what I understand, I've only been in Portland since 2016. Might this be the first of its kind, a black rodeo here in Portland?
From what I can tell, it's the first one in Oregon.
Wow.
Ever.
Wow.
Possibly the entire Pacific Northwest.
Okay. So definitely going to have a bunch of questions as to why and why now. But let's just start off with your background with the rodeo. Like, where did the fascination come from?
You know, I grew up in Kansas City, and we would go to the rodeo every year. We would go to the American Royal. Our choir sang the national anthem there a couple of years. Like, it was cool, but like, all I really remember of it was that it smelled bad and that everybody there was white. So we would come in, sing the national anthem, and like leave.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, we did a little bit of country stuff like growing up. Like, we would ride horses after church on Sundays. Okay. We grew up on 5 acres. My grandma always like planted vegetables. She can grow a tomato in a bathtub. Like, she grew up on a hog farm.
So okay.
Her and my uncles are real country. But like, as soon as I could, I got out of there because I was just like, this just isn't it. I wanted to be a designer and a photographer. And so I bounced and went to New York City. And then I ended up moving out here after a few years of working in the design industry. I came out here, became a creative director. And I met a filmmaker named Charles Perry at a party.
Okay.
The Pink Rose. And he was the only black dude there, so we started chopping it up. And he was like, I'm doing a documentary about black cowboys. And I said, that's weird. And he said, hey, you should come with me down to Oklahoma and like see what it's like.
Right.
So I went there down there as a photographer. I flew into Kansas City. Borrowed my mama's car and drove 4 hours down to a little town called Okmulgee. And, you know, there were glistening white trailers everywhere, horses tied up to the side of them in the shade. There was barbecue smoke, and there was R&B and hip-hop and gospel all mingling in the air. And I saw 2,000 or so black cowboys walking around on their horses with no shirt on, gold chains, and Jordans.
So this was your first time since leaving.
Yeah.
This is your first time having this rodeo experience after, you know, going off to the big city, photography, wanted to pursue your career, graphic design, all the visual art elements. And here you are surrounded by black people, rodeo. Like, what was that feeling initially?
You know, I grew up watching Tombstone and Bonanza.
Right.
And Beverly Hills Billies and Gunsmoke. You know, I love Westerns, but I really thought that like cowboys were white. Even though I grew up around like black folks that raised cows or black people that, you know, grew vegetables or whatever, but I just didn't consider them cowboys because I was like, a cowboy looks like John Wayne.
Right.
And a black cowboy is like Cowboy Curtis on Pee Wee's Playhouse,
right,
or Cleavon Little in Blazing Saddles. Saddles is a joke,
right?
It's Sinbad and the Cherokee Kid. It's like a goofy thing.
Right.
So for me to go there and see real life that this was a part of black culture, and to see that like a lot of the people there were from Kansas City, a lot of people come down there for their family reunions every year. It was shocking. I was kind of embarrassed.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, not to fully categorize your exit, it felt like that was something, again, you didn't really want to be associated with. You're like, I'm cool on all of the country. I'm going to roll out. And then to come back and be hit with that and be like, wow, okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, as a young man, as you know, I was 17 when I left Kansas City. I just don't think I was ready for it. I didn't understand what it meant or its value. Or that defining myself in the way, defining my hometown in that way, you know, had a lot of pride to it. It was like, these are people with grit. These are people with integrity, you know, like these are people that kind of make their own way. that was just something I couldn't appreciate when I was a teenager. But coming back older, I appreciated it immensely and was like entirely moved by the entire day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. So you get back there. Well, you arrive at this rodeo. You describe some of the first couple of things that you saw. What did you feel? What were the feelings around the action you wanted to take immediately? Like, was it immediately, I need to document this? Was it immediately, I just need to learn more? Like, what was the second thing that happened?
I kind of just, like, kicked it. It was like 105 degrees, and everybody was so nice and just, like, open. And, you know, I met people that knew people I knew.
Okay.
I met people that knew my grandma and them. Like, so I just felt really comfortable. And that was something that I hadn't really found in Portland yet. And so I just had a blast. It's a party atmosphere. It's people hanging off of fences and railings, and it's like twerking and people riding horses, you know, 50 miles an hour in the dirt. And it's like gang show up and everybody's just having a great time. Everybody's just vibing in the heat. And it's just like a beautiful, like, part of the culture. And so I just like melted into that and took some pictures and went home and just like put the photos on my computer.
Mm.
And then it was like, I can't wait to go back. And so I went back to the next Black rodeo. And then I went to another Black rodeo. I went to one in Arizona. I went to several in Oklahoma. I went back to Okmulgee. Like, I kind of kept going back for years just because it was fun.
Right.
And because I was starting to make friends.
Okay.
And
every time you went, you were taking photos at all of the different rodeos.
I was taking photos, but that was just kind of my excuse to engage with people. I would like take one photo and then talk to somebody for like an hour. You know, that was kind of how I was doing it until about 2018. My wife was like, "You're going to like a lot of these rodeos. This is pretty expensive." And she's like, "What's the plan?"
Right.
You know, like, maybe you should post these or do something. And I was like, yeah, because she hadn't even been in it. It was like a secret life. I was like rodeoing on the side.
On the weekends.
Yeah, exactly. So she was like, yeah, but she had seen the photos and she was like, they're beautiful. And like, I think they're going to hit really hard. So we started an Instagram called 8 Seconds and posted the photos, and then just blew up. You know, everybody, Black people, white people, were like, I didn't have a clue about this culture.
Wow.
No clue that this existed. And it just kept growing to, you know, 19,000 followers, and the brands came in, and it just became its own like world.
Mm. Yeah. What would you say would be some of the really impactful feedback that you've gotten from people in our community that never would have even thought about this kind of Black rodeo?
I think people have been like, you know, really inspired. I've sent dozens, if not hundreds of people to their first rodeos. You know, a lot of people have been like, wow, this is exciting. I'm going to go.
Right.
You know, they feel intimidated by the idea of rodeos. And then they get their boots and they go for the first time. Some Black folks I've sent to white rodeos and they've gone like, this isn't what I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
This is different. This is hostile and I don't feel comfortable, you know, but like the ones that go to the Black rodeo are like, wow, seeing that in person was crazy. I really want to get involved in this culture. You know, I've seen Black folks take their first horse riding lesson, go on trail rides. Like it's not only been beautiful artwork, but it's been like activating for a lot of people. And I think that's the move. That's really what we want is like, you know, now I'm wearing a cowboy hat today and I'm wearing it cause it's, you know, it's hot outside and I needed something to shade my face and it's got vents in it. So when the wind blows, it's real cool. So I'm wearing it like practically, it was given to me and I can rope. I'm teaching my kids to rope.
Wow.
I can ride a horse now where I was scared of horses when I started doing this. And so like, it's been transformative for me, But then I think it's been transformative for a lot of people that have seen the work as well.
Absolutely. I can imagine, well, this is going to be my first rodeo, period. I'm interested in that contrast, though. I'm definitely interested in that contrast between a black rodeo and a white rodeo, because up until this point, a lot of black people don't go to rodeos because, again, we assume that it's not a space where we will feel safe and even just comfortable, you know, just comfortable. Nevertheless, any hostility that might come with us being there. But, yeah, this is going to be my first rodeo. It won't be my last one, because I'm definitely going to be curious to see what it's going to be like to be in a predominantly white space. And see what that's like. This isn't a dare to anyone else.
Yeah, right. I like white rodeos, man. They get down different.
Okay.
They get down different. I've never had any hostility at a white rodeo.
Okay, well, that's good.
Well, that's not true.
There was that one time.
There was that one time. But for the most part, they're cool.
Okay.
Yeah, they just are out having a good time. You know, for the most part, they're happy that you're there.
Okay.
That was that one time. They were not happy that I was there.
Wow. What was the reaction?
Man,
cold shoulders, or it got worse?
No, I was walking in my car. I was photographing the rodeo.
Okay.
And I was just walking in my car after a long day's hard work.
Right.
And, a bunch of guys followed me and were yelling at me, saying all kinds of obscene stuff. And
oh my goodness.
Saying homophobic stuff.
Wow.
Just really, it was rough.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. After a long day's work, that's gonna be.
I was working the rodeo.
Right.
You know, I'm a real country boy. You know?
Probably needs all that.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Instagram's called 8 Seconds. The show's called 8 Seconds. What is 8 Seconds?
8 Seconds is how long you have to ride a Bronco or a bull to get a qualifying score.
Oh, wow.
So you have to stay on for 8 seconds, and then at the end of 8 seconds, judges give you a score based on how well you rode.
Okay.
So it's like part of riding is that in that 8 seconds, you really want to show out.
Got you.
Yeah, you really want to... put on a show. You want to wave your hat around.
Okay.
When you get off the bull, you want to throw your hat. You want to pump your chest. You know, okay. Like it's theater.
Okay. Okay.
It's theater on an animal. I like that rule because when I came into it, I was a little bit judgmental. Mm. At the time, I was a vegan, and I was just like not really into the treatment of animals piece of it.
Right.
I was not trying to judge people because I was like, I know this is an extension of people's lifestyle.
Right.
And I know this is an extension of what you will see on a working ranch. And I know that like I'm in a space where I don't have a clue what I'm looking at.
Right.
So who am I to judge somebody based on my experience as an urbanite?
Right.
So, but when I learned about that rule, it made me feel nice because that rule is in place to protect the animals. You know, right. After 8 seconds, their adrenaline is high, they get fatigued, and they don't perform as well. So they only have to get rid for 8 seconds, and then they get to go back in the back and relax. Where they used to ride the animals until they fell, they don't do that anymore.
Interesting, because my next question was definitely going to be, you know, why just the 8 seconds, and do you get more points for riding longer?
No.
But okay.
You got to get off.
Yeah, okay.
You have to get off, and you can't, you know, spur the animal with your spurs.
Right.
You can't cut the animal. You get really penalized for that.
Yeah.
The animals are really, in the world of like livestock, taken pretty well care of.
Okay.
You know, some of these animals are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh my God.
I've seen them like after they do their out, get a massage. You know, they get like special grain formulas that are formulated for their like makeup, like
wow.
The care that these contractors take with these animals is pretty intense.
Okay. Yeah, I never would have imagined. Okay.
You have to be a cow. You want to be a rodeo cow.
if you come back as a cow, you want to be in the rodeo.
Yeah.
That's the aspiration.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the move.
Understood.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what we're going to be experiencing on the 17th.
So, you know, this is the first time in Portland. Some of the stuff on my playlist is country, country blues, you know, stuff that I've been listening to at rodeos. but we're going to play a little bit of that.
Okay.
But really, OG One is going to be playing stuff that we're familiar with.
Nice.
And stuff that is like the vibe up here.
Nice.
I was like, I don't want to replicate a Southern rodeo because that's not how we...
You're not in the South.
That's not how we do it up right here. You know, it's a whole different culture.
Okay.
So we're bringing the rodeo here, but we're trying to, you know, learn how do we rodeo?
Yeah.
How do we get down? And we're kind of learning that together and evolving it through the years. So, there's going to be music that you're familiar with. There's going to be 5 events. Typical rodeos have about 10 events.
Okay.
But we're trying to keep the show tight. We're trying to keep it light. We're not getting into really like inside rodeo stuff. We're just doing the entertaining. We're playing the hits.
Okay. You know, so, all singles, all hit singles.
So we're doing Broncos, bull riding, barrel racing, a sport called bulldogging or steer wrestling, and then we're doing mutton busting or sheep. Kids are going to be riding sheep. Yeah, so if you got a kid that's under 8 and they want to get on a sheep, we got helmets, we got protective vests.
Oh, that's tight.
Yeah, they can win $500.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the move. And then... you know, at 3:00 we open up and we're going to have the food vendors. We got like a shave ice guy that just signed up today. We got lemonade. We got barbecue. We got a bunch of different Felton and Mary's is going to be out there.
Yes, Felton and Mary's.
Yeah, so we're getting that moving. And then we got a bunch of local clothing folks, black-owned clothing booths. Bunch of community organizations are going to be out there.
Nice.
And then, you know, the VIP experience is being put up by Jack Daniels and Remy Martin. Mm. And so that's going to, they're going to have craft cocktails and they're going to have a whole thing. I don't even know what they're doing. I said, I just want to show up and see what y'all are doing. I haven't had any control over that piece, but there's a little speakeasy in the expo center and they're turning that into the VIP experience. We got a mechanical bull. Mm. We got a cowboy teaching roping lessons. So it's just like a little bit for everybody throughout the day.
Okay.
And so the actual show is not only going to be entertaining, but we're going to do a little bit of storytelling. We're going to tell the stories of Oregon black pioneers like Jess Stahl. Jess Stahl was a Bronco rider who was too good to compete for money. Ain't that a mess?
So what, they looked at him like a ringer?
They looked at him like an exhibition act. They were like, we're going to have the Bronco riding. Then we had this black guy come out, and he's going to ride the Bronco backwards. Or he's going to ride the Bronco drinking a cup of tea. You know? So he did his thing, but was treated pretty poorly. We're going to tell the story of Letitia Carson, one of the first black landowners in Oregon.
Wow.
And so we're going to do some storytelling and really like sort of celebrate the Juneteenth holiday, but through the lens of the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we're giving out scholarships to kids to learn horseback riding.
Wow.
Yeah, we're giving out 5 for kids to go learn horseback riding at Rockin' Bee Ranch up in Ridgefield. They're going to learn horsemanship. They're going to learn, you know, how to maintain stalls and learn how to ride.
Mm. How early should kids start trying to learn horseback riding? Would you recommend?
You know, I would always ask cowboys, like, one of the questions I asked when I was first doing this project was, how did you get into this? And they would always, like, stare at me, like, what are you talking about?
Get into what? It's what I am, right?
Yeah, exactly. They were, it's not a thing that you get into. It's a thing that you are. And I didn't realize that for a long time. It was like asking somebody, how did you get into eating bread? And so it was like... This is something that was handed to you. So like you want to be a rodeo cowboy, you need to be riding by the time you can walk.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
These kids are riding in like 2 or 3. But for a normal person, I would say I would say like 5 or 6.
Okay.
Is a good age.
Yeah, okay. Because you got to get used to just being around the animals, period.
Being around the animals. My daughter rides and she's not afraid of an animal that is, you know, tooth is like 1500 pounds. She'll get on it and ride around it, and she's commanding, and she's comfortable on a horse.
That's awesome.
But she's been riding since she was 4, you know.
Unbelievable. So what are your hopes? Because I'm hearing, you know, I'm happy that you're talking about doing some storytelling, especially in relation to Black life here in Pacific Northwest. And I'm really encouraged by the angle that you're taking and wanting to make this a rodeo for this region as opposed to bringing in something from somewhere else. I think as people who aren't originally from Portland, originally from Oregon, a lot of us, you know, we are excited about being here, and there are elements of where we come from that we always want to, you know, integrate into our experience here. But the way you're doing this is extremely respectful, and I absolutely love that. So this is the first one, not trying to get you, you know, dealing with any anxiety about when's the next one going to be.
Right.
But what would you like the effects of this experience to be moving forward? Because, again, the storytelling piece is great. You're going to create a lot of curiosity after this. So what would you like the ripple effect of this to be?
You know, I'm just trying to be flexible and go where I'm needed.
Okay.
That's been my whole, like, mantra through this entire thing. It's just, like, go where I'm needed. If something makes itself available to me, like, walk into that space.
Okay.
You know, so I'm really flexible. I think I'm about to step back from the rodeo at the end of it and learn. I've learned a lot in planning this. You know, I've learned a whole lot in planning this thing. It's been crazy.
Is this your first big event?
It's my first big event.
Okay. And,
you know, it's not only is it my first big event, but it's like bringing in dirt and fencing and animals and seats and, you know, doing promotion and like all of that stuff is completely out of my wheelhouse.
Right.
So really it's just been, you know, leaning on mentors and experts who've come before me and like, you know, giving God what I can't handle. You know, it's been a lot of it. At the end, we're going to step back. We're going to say, what did we do well? What was a failure? And adapt. You know, vision-wise, I have a vision of maybe opening a stable in the city. There's no stables.
Nice.
There's no stables in the city. And so having a stable and a youth program in Portland where people can go ride right here, board their horse right here, I think would be pretty powerful. And I think that'd be a good use of my time. And then starting to build all of the cowboys that are coming to this rodeo are coming in from out of town, which has been logistically complicated. You know, looking forward for 5-10 years, maybe we can have some cowboys here.
Right.
You know, that just drive right up the road and compete in the rodeo every year.
Right.
Or at least carry a flag or something. You know, the Black cowboy is kind of dying out. I've talked to a lot of Black cowboys that are like, I don't even think this is going to be a thing in 20 years.
Really?
Yeah. And so, you know, taking that aging population and giving it a new energy and a new place, I think is exciting. Yeah. We want to have it at the Motor Center.
Yeah.
You know, we want a lot more people to get involved. I think this year people are really confused. I mean, I know people are confused. Like, I talked to a brother and I said, hey, man, I'm throwing a Black rodeo. You should come check it out. He was like, that's good, brother, man. What's a rodeo?
And I was like, I'm encouraged by your words. What are you talking about?
And I was like, we got a lot of work to do. So I think as people learn what we're doing and learn that it's fun and learn that it has value, you know, we would like to move to a bigger venue that's more set up for this kind of a.
You said the cowboys are coming in from other places. I'm assuming that a lot of the livestock also are coming with them. How are you sourcing all the resources you need? You mentioned dirt, you mentioned venison. Yeah. So I'm assuming there are some relationships that you developed here locally for that. When it comes to the livestock, how was that handled?
The livestock, like the bulls and the broncos and the steer for the steer wrestling or the bulldogging are all coming from here.
Wow.
Yeah, they're coming from a contractor called Flying Five.
Okay.
So we got animals here. Like, Oregon knows how to rodeo.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They know how to rodeo real, real well. And so we're using their animals. And then, like, the cowboys that compete in, like, the barrel racing, they're going to bring their own horses all the way up here to Oregon from as far as Mississippi.
Wow.
Yeah, we got people coming from Mississippi, Texas, Oklahoma, a bunch of cowboys coming up from California. We got one guy coming up from Las Vegas. You know, so we got people coming from all around to, you know, to be a part of this.
Man,
yeah,
it's going to be amazing. Okay. Will you have books available? I did not get the chance to grab a book. Will there be a merch stand for us to get books?
No.
I tried, y'all. I tried.
My book. My book, man. You know, I saw one on eBay.
What?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Okay.
The book is a hot commodity. I had an editor for the New York Times write me and ask me for one.
Wow.
They are desirable products, and I don't have any. I don't have no books.
Okay. All right.
We're making another one.
Okay.
That's not going to be self-published.
Okay.
But yeah, I'll let you know when that comes out.
All right. I'm looking for the notice on that one.
Yeah.
Ivan, if anyone wanted to get any information about this show or anything else you have going on, what would be the best place for them to go?
I would say Instagram. You know, if you just want to keep track with the 8 Seconds Project, it's Instagram at EIGHTSECS. And then if you want to go and buy tickets to the rodeo, you can go online to our website at the number 8secondsrodeo.com.
All right. Listen, this is the first of its kind. This is history. This is history right here in Oregon. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Yeah.
And we will see y'all at the rodeo.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Absolutely.